Hello, my name is Hannah Rankin and welcome to the Marriage Challenge podcast brought to you by Care for the Family. It's great to have you with us today. I'm delighted to be joined by Stan and Jill Leith, who are going to talk to us about the difficult challenge of postnatal depression and how they worked through it to keep their relationship going after the birth of their children. But first, let me introduce them to you. Stan and Jill have been married for 16 years. Stan works as an associate pastor, and Jill is Care for the Family's national representative for Scotland. They have two children and they live in Dunfermline. So, Stan and Jill, thank you so much for joining us today. It's great to have you with us. Before we get into today's topic, what we would all like to know is where it all began for the two of you. So, how did you two meet and end up getting married?
Well, I guess it all began when I spotted Stan at the Aberdeen Christian Union. He was standing over by the international missionary stand and looking a bit sorry for himself, to be perfectly honest, and a bit lonely, and nobody else was speaking to him. And because I was on the exec, I felt I was duty bound to go and speak to the loser in the corner. So I did. And we just hung out a little bit more, and then we went on one sort of official date. And at the end of that, Stan said, "No, I don't really think we should go out." And I was utterly, utterly devastated. And then the next morning, you came round to the house and said, "Oh, I've changed my mind. Let's give it a go." And that was good.
So now, looking to today's topic, and that is often a very private struggle for many couples, and that's unfortunately the reality of postnatal depression. Can you both tell me a little bit about your story?
Well, Jill had suffered with chronic fatigue for a number of years when we first got married, actually. Even before we got married, she was suffering with that, but managed to really recover. And then we decided that we were going to try for children, which we did. It took a while, but we did then eventually conceive. And then we were living in Reading at that time. And we had lovely little Joel.
Yeah, so I sort of remember the first few days after having Joel, just being completely elated and feeling like it was the best thing in the world. And I was just on an utter high and I couldn't have imagined anything better in the world. But then probably within the first 2 weeks, I began to really stop feeling like that and felt like I'd moved into a really, really dark place. I found it very difficult to bond with Joel. I was almost fearful of being with him because I didn't know how to be with him. I didn't know how to love him. And I was just utterly miserable. And I remember going to events, you know, whether it be other young mums, whether it be a toddler group or nursery get together or whatever, and these other mums were going on about how amazing it was to have a baby, and I just assumed they were all lying. I was so utterly miserable, so I just assumed there was this conspiracy that you just pretended you were happy. And I would say continually to Stan and to my mum, "I am miserable, I hate this." And they would say to me every single time, "But you're such a good mum." And I remember thinking, well, yeah, maybe I'm a good mum, but I hate this. I'm just miserable. And I'd live for 7 o'clock when I could get Joel to sleep. But then all evening, I would just be anxious and panic about the next day because I'd just have to get up the next day and do it again. And I used to just do anything other than be in the house on my own with him. And I would walk the streets with him in the buggy and I cried. And I just felt that nobody understood. Everybody kept telling me, "It'll pass, you'll be okay, you're fine, you're doing a really good job. Look how you are with him, you sing to him." But I wasn't feeling any of that. So that really went on for the whole of the time until we tried again for another baby. And the only reason really we did that was because I felt that Joel should have a sibling. It wasn't particularly that I felt ready to do it again. And then hope came along and it just got worse. Took a real dip.
But you'd had a terrible, terrible pregnancy with Hope, which meant that you were sick for 9 months during the whole of the pregnancy. So therefore, I think psychologically that physically, psychologically, in every sort of way, had a massively negative impact as well. So like you're running on empty sort of psychologically, I think. And then you take that with the 9 months and then you're just not ready to pick up again after that and for it all to get any further.
And I remember not having that same feeling of elation after having Hope. I had none of that. There was just nothing positive. So it was about when Hope was about 3 months, I think, we sat down one evening and I said to Stan, I want to end it. I don't want to be alive anymore and I don't even care that I'm going to leave the children behind. And that's when Stan said, right, we need to do something about this. So I went to the GP and I was diagnosed with postnatal depression and was immediately put on medication. It took 2 tries with medication, so about 6 weeks on the first lot and nothing was shifting, so the GP said to try a different one. So I tried that. And at the same time, I went to counselling. So then after about 4 weeks of the second round of medication, the only way I can describe it was like a light switching on. It was like night and day. I just suddenly felt in control again. I felt bright. I felt that I was awake for the first time in years. And I think that along with the talking therapies was absolutely essential to be able to get out of the dark place that I was in.
Thank you very much for sharing that. So what was it like for you as a couple at that time?
Well, it was slightly complicated because I wasn't very well either. And I'd also had chronic fatigue, actually, and recovered significantly as well. Was working full-time, a very busy church as a youth pastor. And that, you know, a lot of evenings, things like that. And then we had Joel, and I was doing fine. But then as soon as Joel came along, the extra pressure, physical pressure and psychological pressure, and then Jill feeling down herself, was a massive strain on me. So, and I sort of really started to struggle as well. So we're kind of, I think that's, you know, looking back, I sort of think it's that combination of factors that mean you don't move as quickly as you would. I think outside a situation, when you speak to other people, you'd go, yeah, it sounds like you should probably do something about that. But in the midst of it, you're just sleep deprived. And all you can think about is doing the next day and getting through that and just doing the best you can. And you've never had a child before. And therefore, you don't really know what's normal, what's not normal. And so I think that was like where we got to. So therefore, where were we doing our marriage? Well, I think that we're like many like couples who have children, you know, just absolutely exhausted, trying to do our best, trying to, you know, keep our professional lives going on as well and all those sort of things. So yeah, I think it was quite tough, but we'd been fortunate in that we'd gone through quite a lot of difficult times before with our health. So that gave us, I think, a lot of sort of experience in the bank about how you deal with things and perseverance and patience, and probably given us some ability to process challenges or how we felt emotionally. But I think that was all quite helpful, wasn't it? I think other people, you know, in another situation, if we hadn't been married or had not gone through the difficulties we'd gone before, I think it would have been very difficult.
It would have been harder.
Yeah, harder.
And I think when you are depressed, it is incredibly difficult to allow anybody else in. And so I think that when you're in a committed relationship with somebody, it is extremely difficult to allow them to even help you. It just feels too much. And so I think probably a lot of the time I shut myself away from Stan and didn't want him to be involved with what I was going through. Certainly from the physical side of things, and I would say our lovemaking took a bit of a hit for a number of years, because I found that when I was depressed, my self-esteem was so low and I hated myself so much, I didn't want to be intimate with him. So that was difficult. So yeah, I appreciate now, looking back, how difficult it was for Stan living with me, because there were a lot of times where he just couldn't help me because I wouldn't allow it. And one thing that we are very aware of now when we speak to people in relationships where one of the people have depression is, in the end of the day, it has to be the depressed person who actually is motivated to ask for help. And that can be horrific for the partner who's watching on, because it's a waiting game until the person is ready to say, okay, yeah, I'm willing to go to the GP, or yeah, I'm willing to speak to somebody about this, or I'm willing to admit this, which is hard. But I would say now I would imagine we have this attitude, wow, if we got through that, we could pretty much get through anything.
Oh.
Which is a good place to be now.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was dark.
Yeah.
And lonely.
Yeah. And I think that actually the thing that I feel bad about now is the fact that I was just so exhausted physically. And I had to be present there for Joel. And I probably wasn't able to be quite as present as I would have wanted to have been for Jill in the same way. But equally, it probably made it a little bit more, in some ways, easier because I had another focus rather than just Jill, and Joel was delightful. So it was a real moment of a point. And Jill would enjoy Joel if I was around more. Do you mean we'd actually enjoy that time together? But the problem was the fact that when I wasn't around, when Jill didn't have to be responsible, it was a different, you felt slightly different, didn't you?
Yes.
I'm not saying you felt like amazing, no. But it was that sense of, you always had that, like you talked about there, the anxiety for the next day. It was about, what am I going to do if I'm in charge? And if I was there, then you could relax.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know.
Because I knew Joel wasn't my main responsibility. No. I think I found that very, very difficult.
Yeah.
The fact that I was responsible. And also because when I was in very dark places, I reacted with a huge temper and shouted a lot and cried so much. I mean, I remember the lowest moment, which was just before we had that conversation that night when we decided I needed to go to the GP. I was feeding Hope on the sofa and I was just crying my eyes out, inconsolable crying. And Joel, who's 2 and 10 months, walked out of the room and came back through with tissues. And he handed the tissues to me and he said, "Mummy, please don't cry." And you just think, that wasn't right that my boy had to see that. And that's why we're so willing to talk about this, because nobody should feel like that, because it can get better and there is help available. And yeah, it can be better. And yeah, that was a turning point, really. Just thought, no, this has gone on too long. We need to do something about this.
Yeah.
You've touched a little bit on this already, but for any couples listening who are in the midst of postnatal depression, struggling to balance life with a newborn, is there any other advice that you would give them?
So I think a bit of advice to give them is that you need to be able to just listen and not respond immediately. Jill's more pessimistic, I'm more optimistic, and that is like a blessing in our relationship. And so for me in that moment to really, really stop and listen was really crucial. So I think that making sure that you have time and space to do that is really significant. I think as well, you know, retrospectively as well, maybe we should have been a bit more aware of the situation.
Because I think most women within the first 10 days of having a baby will have the baby blues, and that's just completely normal, to do with your progesterone levels, similar to when we've got PMT before our periods. That's perfectly normal, so not to panic. But, you know, just being aware that if after that sort of 3-4 week mark you're beginning to just not feel well and feeling dark, then just to act really quickly, I think that would be for if people are at the beginning of it and haven't, you know, acknowledged or spoken to MD about it yet. And I think practically speaking, when you're in the midst of it, I think what Stan said is just perfect, because I just needed somebody to just listen. Hugs are good if you're a touch person. Practical help. I couldn't say how incredibly helpful it was when people would like drop round a meal or offer to take the baby for half an hour. You never want to see anybody when you're depressed. You want to hide in a ball and never speak to another human being again. But Stan would literally force me out the door sometimes and say, "Right, we are going to walk along to Costa and we're going to do it." And I'd cry that I didn't want to go, but you'd make me do it. And 9 times out of 10, it was good. It is good to speak to people. You don't have to speak about how you're feeling, but it does help us in our souls to have conversations and interaction with people. But just to act, do something about it. It's not shameful.
Yes.
It's one of these things. 1 in 10 women have postnatal depression.
Yeah.
It's not your fault. It is the way you've reacted. It's good to be honest about it.
Yeah.
Because there is light at the end of the tunnel and there are ways to get through it.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. That's lots and lots of advice in there. So Stan and Jill, thank you so much for being so open in all that we've talked about. And I know it's a topic that affects many couples, and we're so grateful that you're willing to share your experiences with us. Before we finish, in every episode, we ask our guest couple to give us a marriage challenge. So something practical that couples listening can try out over the coming weeks. So thinking about all that you've talked about today, do you have a marriage challenge you'd like to set for our listeners today?
So if you have had an experience, either you or your partner have had an experience of postnatal depression, then appropriately share that. Because I think that's one of the big things that people just, they might get through it. Many people go through it. And they never share it. And it's just, it's a secret. And therefore that helps for it to become shameful. It helps for it to be secret. So if you had an experience and you got through it, I think just to share that and to be real about that is helpful for other people to realize, oh, you know, that it can be difficult and that's okay. So that's my challenge.
That's great. Such a practical thing for our listeners to try out. So thank you so much. Well, that's all for this episode, and it just leaves me to say thank you to Stan and Jill for joining us and sharing so honestly and openly about your experiences. And we look forward to tackling another marriage challenge next time. Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Marriage Challenge podcast. For further information about our courses, resources and events, visit us at www.careforthefamily.org.uk.